A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Concluding my series on ABBA-related music, we come to Grunewald and Martin Gerker. Now, Martin uses many of the ABBA techniques to create his music. And also, you can really hear in the music how heavily he's influenced by ABBA.
I met Frida at the museum, more or less by accident. So we had some minutes together, and she signed my notebook of Super Trooper, and I was totally impressed. This was the initial moment for me to write a lot of songs in that style, and that is what became Grunewald. One thing I have in common with Benny is this passion for romantic classical composers. I think Bach is obvious in many Benny Andersson compositions. There's so much in ABBA's music, and I always ask myself, how does this magic appear? Kind of a Renaissance idea to look back at old virtues and do something new with it. We often get asked from fans, why don't we try to get into the Eurovision? I'm not convinced that we should do this.
Coming up in just a second, Martin Gerker of Grunewald, but I just want to ask you, please subscribe. It helps me, and of course it allows you to find out when I've posted something new on this channel. And if you want to see other videos in this ABBA-related series, please look below, and you will see that there is ABBA Mania. Jana Schaefer, the brilliant guitarist who played on 54 of ABBA tracks, Bjorn Again, the pastiche of ABBA, and of course Carl Magnus Palm, who tells you the history of ABBA winning at Eurovision. So there's lots to see. Please subscribe, and on with the show, I suppose. Martin Gerker from Grunewald. So, Martin Gerker, welcome. I've interviewed a number of people this week, all with a sort of reference point of ABBA in a different angle. So, ABBA Mania, the ABBA pastiche band, Born Again, the ABBA historian, Carl Magnus Palm, someone you worked with, Jana Schaefer, who was the ABBA guitarist on about 50 ABBA tracks, and partially responsible, really, for some of the sound of ABBA. And now yourself with a band that is influenced in a lot of ways from that era, specifically from ABBA, and a name that is an island and a theme park in Stockholm. Why did you choose the name?
Well, it should have something to do with ABBA, because they are my favorite music group, and it should recognizable for people who like ABBA music, so that they can find our music. And I like the sound of this word, Grunewald. It sounds good.
I mean, the weird thing is that, and I've been asking everyone who in 1974 actually watched the Eurovision Song Contest when ABBA won the first time, which is 50 years ago, where were you on April the 6th, 1974?
I think I was in my room playing with some things. I was 3 years old and didn't know about ABBA. That came, I think, 4 years later or so.
What music were you brought up and exposed to as a child? What music did your parents play?
Oh, my parents listened a lot to classical music, to Mozart, piano concerts, to all Beethoven symphonies, Bach, stuff like that. I was very familiar with classical music, and I didn't accept other music than classical music as a child. And ABBA was the first group who gave me an entrance to other music.
For me, when I was a teenager, and I know you sort of just mentioned that you heard ABBA when you were about seven, I think, is what you were saying a bit earlier, that when I was a teenager, and obviously I'm a lot older than you, and for me, Bowie provided not only the music, but he provided an escape, a world of where I felt I could belong, which wasn't the world of my parents. What mm-hmm. sort of world did ABBA provide for you, and was it also an escape?
I have a theory about why ABBA is so successful in Germany.
Okay, tell me.
In my generation, or in the people who are slightly older than me, we all grew up with parents that themselves grew up in the times after the war. And they had all to do with traumata. So we had a lot of people felt ashamed in Germany because of the Nazi time, and so the melodic music, so beautiful melodies, were not allowed in rock music or in other classical music styles, temporary styles of the time after the war. It's obvious in a lot of music styles that the German people had problems with nice melodies. And the Swedish people, they were neutral in World War II, and they still had a good tradition of folk music that we didn't have that in Germany, because this music was abused by the Nazis. So this beautiful music full of harmonies and nice melodies somehow survived in Sweden. And as a child, this beauty and this sound, it was an emotional substitute for things our parents couldn't give us at the time, because they were all had to do with their trauma from the post-war time.
I mean, that's fascinating. And I think also that if you're brought up around classical music, and then you as a child are liking ABBA, I just wondered what your parents thought of your musical taste then, if that's something that was also, you know, would have been a trauma for them to listen to.
I was allowed to listen to everything I wanted to listen to, but I found this ABBA record, Greatest Hits Volume 2, while we visited some friends, and just put it on the turntable, and the first song was Gimme, 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 and I was a fan within seconds, because I like this intro of Gimme, Gimme, Gimme so much. Until today,
you're obviously someone who's had an education, because today you offer full production mixing and mastering in your studio. So when was the period that you actually got into music as a career, as it were?
When I was 16, I had the idea of doing composing, producing music myself. That was in the late 80s. There was no internet at that time. It came some years later. You don't have that much information about how how you can produce music. And yeah, so I started with some pretty easy primitive stuff, like the old tape recorder of my parents and an old guitar. Tried out some things. I was very fascinated by electronic music at that time, by synthesizers, and later on I studied some musicology at the university, and then I got into the film music business 2010. Around that time, I remembered my ABBA passion somehow. All the things from the childhood come back at a certain point. It was all before the great return of them. And so slightly, the idea of doing music in that style grew stronger and stronger. And at a certain point, when I visited the ABBA Museum in 2013, when it was opened in May, there I met Frida at the museum, more or less by accident. So we had some minutes together, and she signed my notebook of Super Trooper, and I was totally impressed. I couldn't get out a word. This was the initial moment for me to write a lot of songs in that style, and that is what became Grönerlund later on.
So tell me about this meeting then. What did she say to you? If it was a couple of minutes, she must have said something. Was she just sweet, or what did she say to you?
I stood there and was speechless. There was a big crowd of fans. This was also the first day I got in contact with other ABBA fans. Until that day, I was all by myself. There was this crowd, and they didn't notice that Frida got out of the car, but I saw it. And she gave me a hint. Come here, quick, before the crowd comes. Because there was a 10 meters distance to her, and just because I don't want to be too pushy. And she saw it, and she said, come here, quick, and gave me the autograph. And she asked what my name is. We didn't talk much. It was just this moment because I was 8 years again.
I mean, it's a wonderful trigger for you to then start delving into ABBA's music as someone much more grown up than the child that had been listening to the music. When you did that, what did you discover? Did you discover about their music which was different to what you heard as a child?
There's so much in ABBA's music, and I always asked myself, how does this magic appear in their sound? And I found out that there is no last answer to this question. I try to get close, I try to get to that magic, and my main thought about it was that the style of the working process they had in the late 70s, early 80s, is completely different to the modern music production style you have for modern chart songs. Today, everything is a little bit easier. You just turn on your computer, you have your lists of sounds, you choose some sounds and put them together. That's an easy thing. It's very efficient in time and money. You don't need that much musicians. But this easy access to making music is doing something with the music. I hear less passion in this kind of music. It's very well designed. But I think there's a difference. And I wanted to find out how I can get to this approach, to this old school approach in a modern hybrid studio. And that took me some years, first thing to find out how ABBA produced their sound with analog studio gear. And I at the same time, I had to build my own studio to get closer to that sounds. I had to get a lot of instruments of that era of the late 70s and early 80s to get closer to that sound. It's a lot of elements that came together and I had to think about. But it was still important to me not just to make a copy of their sound, because one of the things that were very important for ABBA is be unique and make your own sound and make a new song from scratch every single time when you start a new song. Don't do always the same. I tried to do that as well. So my own ideas, and I tried to push their concept a little bit further with my view and my personal taste.
Okay, so tell me how you managed to push this concept a little bit further, because there are, for example, there are three girls in the band, Carolyn, Marble and Sarah.
Yeah.
Instead of two. You are Benny and Bjorn in one, let's say. So there's a difference in that simplistic way. So that makes a difference in the voices, obviously. But what other differences have you brought in, because you wanted to change, in a sense, use their basis, but change it and develop it?
The obvious difference is that I live in other times, 40 years later now. The political situation is difficult at the moment, and the society has changed, and I think all that is somehow in our lyrics and in our songs, but there are always references to their songs. We think with our music about society today, and we are looking back at the same time. It's a kind of a Renaissance idea to look back at old virtues and do something new with it.
There was also a theatricality to ABBA. You know, it was, yeah. You know, also not just in the music, but of course in their look and everything. How have you interpreted that theatricality into what you do as a band?
So one thing I have in common with Benny is this passion for romantic classical composers. And if you are very into that kind of music, theatrality comes by itself. I don't have to produce that. It just happens while I compose and produce the songs.
So give me some examples of classical composers that have influenced Benny, I think you said, wasn't it? You have influenced, yep, Benny, and also who have influenced you, because you were brought up around,
yep,
the music of these composers.
I think Bach is obvious in many Benny Andersson compositions. He likes to use flutes in a very Baroque kind of way when he writes melodies. The melody of Gimme, Gimme, Gimme is in the intro. This D minor arpeggio going up and down, you could find that idea in old Bach partitas, old Bach compositions. It's a very Baroque way of thinking. Then to work on little motifs, very distinct motifs, and making variations of them, and filling the whole arrangement with these little ideas and counterpoints that fit together. That's a classical way of working, and you find that in with Beethoven very much, and Bach and Mozart. Tchaikovsky is another composer who was very influential for Benny.
Can you give me an example?
I recently was researching the main theme of Lay All Your Love on Me. This, again, I think it's D minor, this pad from the GX1 synthesizer in the beginning. And I think it's kind of a direct quote of a piece of Tchaikovsky. I don't know the name of it. It was a string quartet or something like that. He sometimes recycles classical ideas in a very clever way.
Not just a clever way, he was able, and this, I think this is one of the beautiful things about ABBA, is there are complexities in the music that come across very simple, and they don't seem like complexities. How difficult is it? And I know you're not recreating, you're not a cover band, you're not recreating ABBA, but how difficult is it to use these complexities and create, which I've listened to a lot of your music, a lot of the band's music, and you feel like you're listening to ABBA, but you know you're not listening to ABBA. Do you know what I mean? Because the songs are different. But you've got the feeling of ABBA is definitely in there. So how difficult is it to take complex ideas and make them simple?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Stick with us, more on Martin Gerke coming up, but just time for me to ask you to subscribe. It helps me and it allows you to find out when I post something new on this channel. Now, don't forget, if you're interested in this ABBA series, I've listed all the interviews below. Jana Schaffer, the guitarist, the brilliant guitarist who played on 54 of ABBA hits. He tells some of the stories that happened in the studio. Then there's ABBA Mania, the brilliant, massive ABBA show. I saw that, loved it. Bjorn Again, who are the fabulous pastiche band of ABBA. That's a really corker of an interview. And then, of course, we have the ABBA historian, Carl Magnus Palm, who relates the time that ABBA won Eurovision 50 years ago. That's really fascinating. Okay, subscribe, stick with us, and let's get back to Martin Gerke of Grunerland. How difficult is it to take complex ideas and make them simple?
I don't know if I can answer that. I just have ideas, and the ideas are coming. If you work long enough on your own music, you will get to a certain stage where you don't have to worry about getting good ideas. You have to worry about how do I get enough time and money to produce all the ideas I have. I remember when I started doing music, I was much more worried about how do I get good ideas and how can I write good pieces. That has changed. I now somehow know how to do it. But all the things surrounding music, the whole production process and promotion, it takes so much time and space and money. And I'm not a professional promotion manager, but someone has to do it for the band. And the whole music industry has become difficult today with the low rates on Spotify. And I feel more and more that this whole kind of thinking, doing and producing the music like we do has fallen out of time, because it is so difficult to find people that support. And there's a reason why most people work with their laptop, because it's cheaper and it goes faster.
Okay, when you formed the band, how did you decide on the women that are in the band?
Yeah, we had some singers that in an audition, and I was searching for a long, long time, over several years. And these were the three that luckily in the end were part of the band.
What was it about their voices and about how their voices mix and relate to each other that needed to appeal to you?
There is this interaction between the voices of Agneta and Frida. Agneta has the higher register and Frida has the warm lower register. That is one thing. The other thing is that both of their voices together give a very unique color of sound. And I was kind of searching for a singular mix of two voices. So one high clear register and the warm alto register. And I found them. Sarah Schumacher has the higher part in the band, and Caroline B. Wald has the lower part. And they have also a unique texture when they both singing in unisono. It sounds different than ABBA, but it has to sound different. It's a good thing that we sound different. But we work in a similar style. And the third voice by Mabel Winkler is a different color that's not so much related to the ABBA sound, because she has more blues and rock colors in her voice.
I mean, one thing about 1979, which was something that you reference on your site as the era that was important, was that this was an era when Voulez-Vous came out, the album, which had things like Voulez-Vous, I Have a Dream, The King Has Lost His Crown, and I think Chiquitita were all on that album. And in a year later, Super Trooper came out with The Winner Takes It All, A La Summer, Lay All Your Love on Me, and Super Trooper, obviously. This era, you can feel and hear references in your music.
I'm happy to hear that.
How then have you managed to develop to the extent that you now have worked with Jana Schaffer, who worked with ABBA on about 50 tracks? So how does it go from that you actually then get in contact to one of the people that have worked closely with them, and then he works with you?
It was when we were nearly finished with the songs in 2020. I think we had recorded 80% of the album material, and so I had some. There were some songs that were finished already, and I noticed that somehow we were getting better, and I thought, what else can we do to push this album or to bring it closer to that sound I have in mind? And then I just wrote an email to the homepage of Jana Schaffer, and asked him if he could imagine to play a guitar solo for us. And I didn't expect much. I didn't even expect an answer, but he answered 20 minutes later after I sent him that mail and said, yes, let's record some songs together. How can we get in contact? I was speechless and I was very happy about it, because Jana Schaffer really is a hero of my childhood. I didn't know his name by that time, but I was but the song Eagle by ABBA was very much has Jana Schaffer's guitar sound, when he played with this tape echoes. There's a guitar solo as well in Eagle. I always loved that song very much, and now I was able to work with the man who recorded these songs. Yeah, that was quite special. And then I went to Stockholm in September 2020 and recorded three or four songs together with him.
One of the songs he worked on is a beautiful song of Grunelund's, which is Forgiven.
Yeah.
What do you believe he brought to your music?
I learned about Janne that he has that his strength is to play guitar without any... He works best when you give him total freedom. I had to learn that in the first day of when we worked in the studio. I had notes and chords and look at this and we should play this line. And it turned out okay, but I was a little bit disappointed. But the second day, I tried something else and had this aha moment. Okay, he just needs a free space and let him do what he wants to do, and that was fantastic. And then we recorded the solo for Forgiven.
What's interesting about what you say about that he needs sort of complete freedom to be able to express what he wants to do, it suggests that Benny and Bjorn gave their collaborators, including Janne, of course, but gave everyone complete freedom to bring their best into the music. Yeah. Did he talk about that?
Yeah, he has a lot of stories to tell. And he talked about that they were working on songs together and everybody brought his ideas to the song. And then somehow the song developed to the versions we know today. And I think these musicians play a very important role in the classic ABBA sound. Another very important musician is Rutger Gunnarsson, the bass player, who also arranged the strings on the Uli Hu album, I think, and who played this iconic bass line in One of Us from The Visitors. I think those people were very important. And I miss a little bit their influence on the last ABBA album from 2021, a little bit.
It's really fascinating because by working with someone, you're getting a clearer insight about how Benny and Bjorn really worked and about what went into the music. What else did you manage to get from him which has changed the way that you work now, that you worked differently before you met him?
I began to practice guitar a lot more after I met him. Inspiring as well, yeah.
That's brilliant. ABBA were also famous for this sort of wall of sound, for their overdubs. I mean, there were so many facets to their music. How, when you approach writing a new track, how do you approach it and how do you think in terms of what would ABBA have done?
When I started to write the songs for Grunelund, I wanted to do everything as good as I could possibly do it. And I did too much. All the songs were overloaded with ideas and tracks, and 50, 100, 150 tracks were recorded. It was too much because I had to find out what tracks you really need to get closer to that sound. So with more experience in the end of the album production, I knew that I had to throw a lot of tracks away that we recorded and to find out which idea is really important to keep it. And when I now write a song, I know this. I know that I have to focus on a few very good ideas, and I don't have to collect 150 ideas every time I write a song. I'm more focused now, I think, when I write a song.
I mean, one of the things that occurred to me when I was listening to a song like I Want You Back, and is the humor you know, it's I want you back. You treated me so badly. And there's this humor in there. ABBA were really well known, and people always interpreted it was their relationships, but yeah. ABBA were really well known for their sort of interpersonal relationships in their songs. And this also feels like you are looking at how to bring that into your music. How aware are you of bringing that in?
Well, all the songs I write have some autobiographical content to a certain point, but it's not one-to-one. It's more abstract, so that everybody can relate to it. I'm searching for one basic idea, and my own life is in the songs, but it's more than that. And at a certain point, a song gets his own dynamic. The song writes itself after a certain point. Like, it's hard to describe. I often have difficulties to get to the starting point, to have one initial idea, but at a certain point, the song tells me what to do.
That's really interesting. I mean, that it has a life. It sounds like it's almost organic, that it has a life of its own once it gets going. In terms of the girls in the band, and in terms of ABBA, Agneta and Frida, their contribution was much greater than a lot of people thought at the time. So what is the contribution of the women in your band?
We developed the vocal lines together, these choirs. So most of the harmonic knowledge about how to build choirs comes from myself. But typically I would start to record with Sarah, the high voice, because she can quickly and easily sing all the voices in the choir, and later on we record the other voices.
Well, what do they contribute in terms of the video, in terms of the videos, in terms of the look? Because you've done a number of videos that are online. And in terms of the look that you want to present, and in terms of, you know, even the movements in the videos and so on and so forth, because this is another aspect that ABBA were incredibly famous for.
Also, the videos are full of ABBA quotes. And this is one thing I think we should do less in the future. We have now expressed our ABBA fandom, and we have to concentrate more on our own qualities in the future, because I think the Love Storm album is not kind of an ABBA album.
Have you heard from Benny and Bjorn, or any of ABBA for that matter, in terms of what they think about your music?
Yeah, that would be a dream. I wrote a personal letter to each of them containing the album, but I didn't get an answer until today. I know they know I think Girl Hansa, the manager, has seen it. I had contact with her. She answers my mails, and they allowed me to do this cover version of Just Like That. So they must have heard about us, but they didn't have the time to answer.
Why did you choose that track to cover of ABBA's?
Just Like That is a legendary unreleased track. Who has a very mythological existence right now, because nobody heard the original studio version. They are just copies all around in bad quality. And I heard all these copies in bad quality and tried to find out what the arrangement is like, and try to rebuild it and record it with my knowledge. and to get to as close to the original ABBA sound as possible.
I think you did an amazing job, because I do think it really feels and sounds ABBA. I mean, one thing I've really enjoyed is actually listening to all your songs, from Just a Story, I'm Sorry I Love You, Why Do We Fall in Love, Forgiven, that I mentioned, The Curse, and of course, Just Like That. Your new album, you mentioned it, the hashtag Lovestorm album is out. It would have been easier, and it would have been a way of being more successful, because there are so many ABBA cover bands in one form or another in the world, and ABBA covering ABBA music. And I think that does take talent as well, obviously. And you could have gone the easy route. And you chose the difficult route. And that fascinates me. I know you talked about this before in this interview, but to take that difficult route is going to be a much longer process. Is it something that you feel inside is the only way you can do it? Or is it the way that you want to do it?
It's the way I wanted to do it, because we don't need more. The world is full of ABBA cover bands. We don't need one more. And as I'm a composer and producer, to write and produce new songs, it's much more interesting to me than doing a cover band.
So Martin Gerke of Grunelund, I want to say something at the end, because we talked about at the beginning when you were 3 years old on the 6th of April, 1974, what will you be doing this Eurovision Song Contest? I know ABBA aren't there, but it's 50 years since ABBA, and there must be some references going on to ABBA during that show. What will you be doing on the 6th of April, 2024? And has Eurovision got any relevance today in comparison to the relevance it had because of ABBA in 1974?
We often get asked from fans, why don't we try to get into the Eurovision with a song? And I'm not convinced that we should do this, because Germany always gets on the last.
that's not true. If it's not Germany, it's Britain. So I lose out on two scores there.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it's brilliant to talk to you, and I really have enjoyed listening to your music, and I really love the idea of this sort of reference point and the way that you are developing, and that you are still developing with your own identity. So Martin Gerke, thanks very much. And I would say anyone that hasn't heard or seen any videos from Grunelund should watch them. They're all online. And I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you, Martin.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Steve.
And that's it for all the ABBA-related bands that I've interviewed. If you've missed any, they're all listed below. Bjorn Again, Jana Schaefer, the brilliant guitarist who played on so many ABBA hits. ABBA Mania, of course, which was a brilliant show. I went to see that. And Carl Magnus Palm, who's the historian who tells the story of how ABBA won Eurovision. So take a look, and please stick with this channel, and please subscribe. Up there is an interview I recommend. Down there is where you can find all the podcast interviews. And here is where you can connect.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.